the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Dale Thronberry.
And good morning, America, and welcome to Veterans Radio. We're going to try this again as we finally come out, and we're on the air here in beautiful downtown Ann Arbor, Michigan, and we want to welcome you to our program today on Veterans Radio. We've got a fascinating program put together for you. We're going to be talking about mental health, which is always good when we're talking to some veterans, it seemed like, and I'm stereotyping myself here. So we're going to be talking about a program that is designed to help civilian mental health specialists with their patients who are veterans, and we know that there's sometimes a disconnect between civilians and veterans, so I'm excited to do that. But first, coming up on our program, we've got two guests in the studio, and we always talk about different organizations around town, and today we're going to be talking about Team Red, White, and Blue. It's easy for me to say. But Team Red, White, and Blue is a new organization that I just learned about the other day. I had the privilege of going to a luncheon of West Point graduates, and I don't know about you, I was not a West Pointer. I wasn't even a real live officer. So it was rather interesting. The only thing that I thought was a little disconcerting was that they were all sitting up and eating square meals at lunch, which for those of you civilians, that means you sit on the first 2 inches of the chair and eat a square meal. It's an in-joke. But anyway, joining me in the studios today are Mark Gunner. And Mark Gunner is the guy I met at the luncheon, and he's the one that brought it out. And he is the Veteran Outreach Director. And Mark, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Dale. Nice to meet you.
Okay. And your other guest is Zach Armstrong, and he's the Midwest Regional Director. And Mark, or Zach, I want to welcome you to Veterans Radio.
Thanks for having us on, Dale.
Okay. Well, Mark, I'm going to ask you to start first. Tell us, what is Team Red, White, and Blue?
So, Dale, Team Red, White, and Blue is an organization that enriches the lives of our nation's veterans through connecting them to the community through social and physical activity. So, basically, our job is to try to get veterans active, let them know that there is a community out there that is here to support them, get them out through physical activity, weekly run groups, other types of physical activity, as well as social activity, go into games together, professional sporting events or local sporting events, as well as other social activities in and around the community.
Okay. Zach, how did Team Red, White, and Blue get started?
Our founder, Mike Irwin, started the organization in 2010. He was actually getting his master's here at the University of Michigan in positive psychology, so kind of fits in very well with the mental health topic today. So we're all about getting our veterans and our community members active in positive environments. So we feel that physical activity, I think it's been well shown throughout the research that it makes you feel better. And that's why it's so, centric to our mission and vision. So it started here in 2010, and now it's a national organization. We have about 55 groups in 36 states, and actually Ann Arbor is one of the, it is the founding chapter, but it's a very, very, we have a great presence here in Ann Arbor.
So if I wanted to get involved in this, and Mark, I'll ask you about this, how do I do that?
Well, there's several ways to do that. One of which is to go to our national website, www.teamrwb.org, and there's a link there to join the team, and that's a very easy way to do that. It takes less than 30 seconds to sign up. You just write in your name, which chapter is the closest to you, and then you'll be contacted by a local chapter captain. That's one way. For people that are local, they can go to our Facebook page, which is Team RWB Michigan, and they can find us on Facebook and click the like button to find out about our local events that are going on almost weekly.
Well, you do something every Saturday morning, don't you?
Yes, sir, we do. We have a weekly run group, so at 9:30 a.m. we meet at the loading dock at Gallup Park on Geddes Road, just east of the Huron Parkway. And we meet there and go for a 3 to 4 mile run, jog, walk, if you will, based on your ability level. There are some people out there that are very good athletes and can run very fast for very far. and then there are others like myself who like to take it a little bit slower pace and just go for a light jog or a walk to Basically, it's a good opportunity to meet with other veterans and the community. We probably have, and this is what's really impressed me, is that even through the frozen tundra of Michigan, we had approximately 15 to 20 people come on a weekly basis, and we expect to have a much larger group as the weather gets nicer. But we had some hardcore people come out there in the cold, so it's been fantastic.
Well, I think that is terrific. And you've got some other events that are coming up that maybe our audience should know about?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of our signature events is going to be the Tough Mudder, which is coming up on June 29th. And right now we have over 50 members signed up to do this race. So that's going to be a phenomenal activity. And then we also have our athletic camps, and we have about four or five of those throughout the year. These are national events that are fully funded by donating parties, and veterans are invited to come and participate in a 3 to 4 day camp in things such as the triathlon camp, which I just had the distinct pleasure of attending just last weekend, as well as hiking camps, yoga camps, trail running camps and such. So it's a phenomenal organization with a very strong support base to support veterans. So we invite any veteran in the area that wants to participate with our organization in both our social and physical activities. And we also invite the community, too, those people that are interested in supporting veterans to come mm-hmm. join us. And there's no obligation. You give and you participate as much as you want, and we don't have any predetermined expectations of anybody. We just want to get everybody active and involved.
I think that's great. Now, Zach, are there other chapters in Michigan or in the Midwest that our listeners could go to or contact?
Sure, that's a great question, Dale. Since Ann Arbor has been that sole chapter for quite some time now, we are just starting to see other veterans, other community members step up anywhere from Houghton, Michigan, Traverse City, Grand Rapids, Lansing, Tecumseh, many different areas where we're starting to organize communities and chapters. But what it takes is for a veteran or a community member to call us and say, this is what we would like to create a community. We have veterans who are interested in our area. So when it comes down to it, we have many people interested, but they need to contact us and let us know, and we'd be happy to talk them through how to set up a community in their area.
Okay, can I get you to give out your website again?
You sure can. It's www.teamrwb.org.
Okay, we got that. I want to thank Mark Gunner and Zach Armstrong for representing Team Red, White, and Blue. For more information, you can go to their website and find out more about that. Thank you, gentlemen, for being on Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Dale.
Thank you, Dale.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we are back on Veterans Radio and being pushed into host duty today. and we're all working together as we go along here. Brian Redmer is our producer for today's program and put the whole thing together. And, Brian, I'm going to let you introduce the topic while I play around here in the control room.
Thank you, Dale. It's good to be here. It's good to be with everyone today on Veterans Radio. Today's topic, we're going to be talking about a two-tier program that has been implemented in the state to teach mental health providers how to deal with the specific issues that soldiers come home deployed with. And in studio, we're going to introduce today Captain Nicholas Anderson, commander of HHT 126 CAV, and director of the peer support programs in the state. Captain Anderson, thank you for being on the program today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about what your work is, what you're doing?
My full-time job, I have a couple different jobs, but one that we're working on project right now is the STAR Behavior Health Program. We're training civilian mental health care providers to be more military-friendly and to reach out to veterans to help them with issues that they have and to help them through those issues.
Okay, and let's go ahead and bring on Chaplain Paul Lepley. We have him holding on line two. Chaplain Lepley, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. How are you doing today?
Good, sir. Good. Welcome, everybody. This is Chaplain Paul Lepley. He is a coordinator for STAR Behavioral Health. You can visit their website at starproviders.org. He's also a mental health counselor for Veterans of America. And can you go ahead and add a little bit onto what we're going to be talking about today, sir?
Thank you for having us on the radio. Just talk a little bit about the program and the inception of the program, that type of stuff. But whatever you have for us, we can talk about. How does that sound, Redmer?
Well, that's the thing. Where did this program start from?
Well, this program started in Indiana. They were the family couple agencies there. The Military Family Research Institute is one. And then the Center for Deployment Psychology is the other, was the Indiana National Guard, got together to create a program to train mental health therapists how to work with veterans, because there's a very large disconnect between the therapy world and the veteran population. Kind of create what that looks like is a therapist, when they sit in the room with a veteran or even a family member of a veteran, they may see a 25-year-old white male, and mm-hmm. the therapist brings with them this perception of what a 25-year-old white male has
their names and what they
gone
have.
Through in their life. But when it's a veteran, they fail to realize that this 25-year-old male may have been deployed two or three times and has more life experiences than a lot of 80-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to take that into consideration, they're meeting with this vet, and some of the things that this veteran has went through, and not only just deployment experience, but the acculturation or the brainwashing, as people say, that the military does to soldiers or airmen or seamen or Marines
mm-hmm.
to make them ready to do their job.
Okay. Also with us today is Tom Anderman, Director of Psychological Services for the Michigan Army National Guard. Mr. Anderman, how are you this morning?
I'm well, and yourself?
I am very well. Thank you for being a guest on today's show. Now, I know Chaplain Lepley talked about that disconnect that soldiers have with the mental health community. Again, why do you feel there's that disconnect? What's your take on that?
Well, as he mentioned, seeing your I'm a licensed social worker and counselor, and seeing your client for who they really are and being there for them is the most important thing a therapist can offer initially in the therapeutic environment, and to have counselors, social workers that really understand what these service members have been through is paramount. Chaplain Lepley referred to life experience, and for service members to be able to connect and really know they're being heard takes a lot on a therapist's part to be more familiar with the nomenclature of military life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've spent 2 years myself in Iraq and a year in Afghanistan, and that's enabled me to be there a little better for them. Our program offers a series of trainings for counselors and social workers, psychologists, that can really aid their understanding for their therapy sessions and their clients.
Okay, Captain Anderson, you have something to add to this?
Yeah, I talking about the disconnect, as a soldier, I think me talking to somebody, if you haven't been there and you haven't done that, it's hard for me to open up to you. I feel very comfortable talking to other soldiers who are deployed with me or who have been deployed to the same area, done the same things that I've done. I feel that they know where I'm coming from, and I think that's the big disconnect with civilian mental health care providers that, you know, when I sit down with somebody, a civilian who has never been there, done that, how are they really going to understand what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we try to do, is try to sort of educate these civilians on why soldiers are reluctant to come forward and talk about their issues and how to open them up, more or less.
Okay, yeah, I know I'd spoken to Chaplain Lepley a couple of times in Afghanistan when he came to our FOB overseas. Chaplain Lepley, I had a question here, and all of a sudden I blank real quick. You're teaching Tier 1 of the program. I know you said it's a how many tier program that this total is?
There's a total of three tiers. Tier 1 is basic military culture and the deployment cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And we really try to address not just the – first off, a disclaimer here. I'll say soldier, but when I say soldier, I might be talking about airman, seaman, or marine, because
mm-hmm.
I come from a National Guard, Army background. So if anybody's listening who is not a soldier and belongs to our branch, I do not mean any disrespect to you. it's just my background. It's how I'm going to talk. So tier one, yes, about military culture, some lingo that we use. For example, what is a FOB? What is a COP? What is an MRAP? That way when in therapy a soldier is sitting there with a therapist and the soldier's talking about going out at ODARC 30 outside the wire and the MRAP and they get hit by an IED, the therapist is like, what the heck are you talking about? Because all these acronyms are being used.
Yeah, we do use a lot of acronyms in the Army.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We think it makes it easier, but I don't know. I don't think it does. Then the afternoon of Tier 1, because Tier 1 is just a one-day event, is more your deployment cycle. And not just deployment cycle from the soldier's perspective, but deployment cycle from the family's perspective. Because each soldier usually has about 1.5 dependents.
Wow.
So say there's 700,000 veterans in Michigan. That means there's over 1.4 million, if I did the math right, people who are affected directly by the deployment cycle and the military culture.
Mm-hmm.
Tier two, it focuses more on things that may arise, issues that may arise during a session with a soldier. Things such as depression or insomnia are very common issues that may arise, and they delve more deeply into these issues that soldiers come home facing. I remember when I first got home, the first thing that Tom said to me is, "Oh, you still look tired." And it's like, wow, I didn't even realize I looked tired. But he was cognizant of what I went through in 9 months of not really having a sleep cycle. And he pinpointed it. It's like, oh, great. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate that. He told me something I didn't even realize about myself. Then tier three, we try to reserve strictly for mental health professionals. So social workers, counselors, licensed psychologists, and LMFTs, licensed marriage and family therapists. And there we'll actually deal with evidence-based treatment modalities for dealing with stuff such as PTSD. And then we might get into prolonged exposure therapy. And in order to do that stuff in Michigan, you do have to have a license. But anybody can attend Tier 1. If you work with veterans on a regular basis, you can attend Tier 2. If you have a license, you can attend Tier 3.
Okay. Mr. Anderman, is there anything you want to add on Tier 1, what work you're doing with them? Anything you want to add?
Well, just to get people to understand, therapists and mental health providers, that there is a very complex dynamic to the military experience, and when in session, it's always important to admit you don't know versus just the Carl Rogers nodding of the head.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to expose yourself. It's like, well, this is something I'm not familiar with, or something I'm willing to learn about. At least that's not a a turnoff in the therapeutic relationship. Tier one offers people a good basic understanding to where they can help anchor that relationship to say, well, I understand this, I know about that, but you mentioned this, what is that? And so really in creating the therapeutic relationship, you want a solid foundation, and Tier 1 helps that happen.
Okay. I know, Chaplain Lippe, you spoke about the family aspect of that, and if anyone out there listening has a question for our three guests today, you can give us a call today at 1-877-573-7825. Again, that number is 1-877-573-7825, because everyone out there knows a veteran, family member of a veteran. So if you have a question, a specific question for our guests, go ahead and give us a call in. And Captain Anderson, was there anything you wanted to add to the Tier 1 that we're talking about?
I think as far as going back to the family aspect, if we're getting mental health care providers to just ask the question, are you a veteran, or, you know, is somebody in your family a veteran type thing, I think that's pretty huge, because we have children that their mother, their father deploys, or maybe even a brother or sister, somebody that they're very close to, and suddenly they're having some sort of issues with behavior or whatever at school, and their parents are sending them to talk to somebody, even if it's not a recent deployment, it was something 2, 3, 4 years ago. If the mental health care provider is asking, well, hey, you know, why is this? And they're talking to the kids or even a spouse about, you know, my husband, my father, my mother was deployed a couple of years ago, and, you know, now I'm starting to see the effects, or I'm starting to feel the effects. I think that's pretty important.
Right. Okay. And we haven't...
Brian, I just wanted to jump in with a question.
Yes,
for actually, I guess it's for Mr. Anderman. My name is Dale Thronberry. So welcome to Veterans Radio. I want to thank all of you for being on the program. I think this is so important. With the training that you get, Mr. Anderman, do they indoctrinate you into some of the acronyms that they were throwing around earlier on, or some of the specific issues that might affect veterans?
There is actually a significant period of time spent on getting people to understand the organizational structure, so you can find out just where that service member fits in. Understanding that, you get to see what kind of emotional and responsibility load the individual carries,
mm-hmm. or
where in the food chain they are allows the service provider to really, you know, get a better view. And as far as the acronyms, they're endless. There's a cornucopia. Just they're being produced by the dozen as we speak. There are handouts and links that provide definitive current definitions of those, but the thing is that there's always more. And what I learned long ago is the only bad question is one not asked,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because there's just so many.
Thank you.
Okay, I do have a quick question. Suppose we have a mental health provider out there right now listening to us that does struggle talking to a veteran when he has a veteran come in for mental health services. What can that provider, how does this provider go about getting this type of training from you gentlemen? What does he have to do?
To get the training, if the provider, just go to starproviders.org,
mm-hmm.
and all our trainings are registered on there, all of our Tier 1s at least. We just posted our Tier 2 trainings, and we'll post the Tier 3 training here a little bit later on. They just go there and they register. One thing that we have seen is we use a software called Qualtrics to do the registration. So if there's any problems with the registration not populating onto the computer, they can just give us a call and we'll sit down on one of our computers, Teresa, who's the co-coordinator with me, or myself, and we'll actually do the registration over the phone.
Okay. One thing, we're breaking down the barriers that mental health providers have with soldiers. Now we have to break down the barriers that the soldiers have with the mental health providers. And how do we get that information to the soldiers themselves to be more willing to get the help that they need? Captain Anderson, can you talk about that a little bit?
So one of the things that I do is I run regional quarterly meetings, sort of like community outreach, and we held one back in February in the Grand Ledge area. And we actually had Chaplain Lepley come talk about the SAR Behavior Health Program. Mm-hmm. And there were some of the leadership of the Michigan Army National Guard there, just so that they know the information and they can push that down to their service members. The biggest thing is putting, you know, I concentrate on the Army National Guard because that's who I work for. But in the state of Michigan, we have Army Reserves, we have Marine Corps Reserves, we have some active duty folks in the Detroit area. And it's just pushing it out. There's multiple different national websites that providers can go on to. But, again, it's I really don't know how to crack that nut because, like I said, my concentration is on the Army National Guard. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we get tons of people that have called that they just happen to see it on the website. They Google Veterans Care, and this website pops up. So it's difficult. I don't know, to tell you the truth.
Okay. What,
there's no really one good answer on how to do that.
On how to get soldiers to want to actually commit to this and commit to getting the help that they need. Chaplain Lepley, do you have any idea before we go to break? We got about a minute and a half.
That's a great question. I was actually thinking about that earlier today. And Nick, Captain Anderson, he hit it on the head. It's a very tough nut to crack. Awareness is one thing. The military has efforts to try to destigmatize mental health. Before, if you had a security clearance, you were getting, if you answered yes to getting mental health help, then you'd lose your clearance. And so people didn't want to claim it or go out and get it for fear of losing a clearance.
Mm-hmm.
But they have changed that. There are strives in the military and all branches to diminish the stigma that's associated with it and to decrease any sort of reprimands and actually get rid of reprimands that may be issued because a soldier seeks help.
Mm-hmm. Captain Anderson.
Yeah, and actually, going back to that, Sergeant Major of the Army, Ray Chandler, I was at a conference that he was at back in April in D.C., and he openly spoke about seeking mental health for combat stress, post-traumatic stress disorder, after one or two of his deployments, I can't remember. But, you know, the big thing is that he is the top dog of the NCO Corps for the Army, not the National Guard, the Army. And he reiterated that if I, as a Sergeant Major of the Army, can ask for help for a topic like this, there's no reason anybody else in the military should not, you know, should not be able to go in, because he still has his job. He's mm-hmm. still in the military, and there was no repercussions for him seeking help.
All right. Okay, well, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Tom Anderman, Captain Nicholas Anderson, and Chaplain Paul Lepley here on Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Lieutenant Edward Isaac escaped twice from the Germans during World War I. Details after this.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
The German Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Isaac was captured and held as a prisoner on board the German submarine U-90, where the USS President Lincoln was attacked and sunk. Upon the return of the submarine to Germany, he was confined in a prison camp. During his stay on the U-90, he obtained information of the movements of German submarines, which was so important that he determined to escape with a view to making this information available to the U.S. and Allied naval authorities. In attempting to carry out this plan, he jumped through the window of a rapidly moving train at the imminent risk of death, not only from the nature of the act itself, but from the fire of the armed German soldiers who were guarding him. Having been recaptured and reconfined, Lieutenant Isaac made a second successful attempt to escape, breaking his way through barbed wire fences and deliberately drawing the fire of the armed guards in the hope of permitting others to escape during the confusion. He made his way through the mountains of southwestern Germany, having only raw vegetables for food, and at the end, swam the Rhine River during the night in the immediate vicinity of German sentries to reach Allied forces. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
For the past 100 years, Amish furniture craftsmen have placed great value upon the beauty and quality of their work. With great attention paid to the details of the wood, each board is then hand-selected to match the specific furniture in mind and in achieving the desired look of the finished piece. At Naked Furniture of Ann Arbor Showroom, you will find displays of this fine craftsmanship that you can afford and own. Now is the time you can visit Naked Furniture at 3570 Washington Avenue and experience this fine quality for yourself. The furniture consultants at Naked Furniture of Ann Arbor are there to show you the fine details of Amish furniture. There's plenty of easy access parking in front of their showroom, and Naked Furniture of Ann Arbor is open evening and weekend hours for your convenience. So for fine quality Amish furniture, go to Naked Furniture of Ann Arbor, 3570 Washington Avenue, just west of US 23, or visit their website, nakedfurnitureofannarbor.com.
Welcome back to Veterans Radio. Again, if you have a question for our three guests, Tom Anderman, Captain Nicholas Anderson, or Chaplain Paul Lepley, you can call in 1-877-573-7825. Again, 1-877-573-7825. Now, one of the things I know we were talking about and I want to dive into is the family aspect of all of this. How soldiers are returning home from deployments, their families are affected. We were talking earlier, Captain Anderson, that depending on the length of time you're deployed, that's the length of time it could take to reintegrate back home. So it's not just 6 months or just a couple months after we deploy or we come home from deployment that issues may arise. It could be 6 months, 8 months to a year. So is there talk about the difficulties surrounding that or anything surrounding the family aspect?
Yeah, coming from my own experience, when I deployed, my wife picked up all my duties. You know, she was the mom and the dad for a good year of my daughter's life. And then on my second deployment, we had both my son and my daughter. So she had to, you know, cook, clean, take care of the kids, but also take out the trash, mow the lawn. And when I came back, you know, I had to really figure out where my place in the family dynamic was again, and you know, who got control of the remote control on what time, and who did what with the kids. And you know, my wife, she always says that, you know, she didn't marry an Army man. I joined the military after we were married, and it was very difficult after my first deployment because we just didn't know where to go from there. And, you know, I was dealing with my issues coming home from deployment and then trying to get back into the swing of things of being a civilian and being a father and a husband. And it was extremely difficult. And, you know, our families, we just don't give them enough credit. The one thing we always say is that everybody always thinks the veteran, but, you know, the family members never get thanked for their service because, you know, if anything, they take on a very large burden. It's very easy for me to go overseas and be mission-focused. And my wife and kids are at home worrying about what's going on with me, but at the same time having to carry on and live their life back here. So it's very difficult.
Brian, I just want to interrupt you.
Yes, Dale.
But my question is, when you guys came back from your deployments, it's much different now than it was 40 years ago. Were you given time to come down from your deployment before you met with your family?
From my personal experience, it was about 4 days for both deployments, actually. Flew into Fort Hood and did our out processing, and then 4 days later, we were back, you know, in Michigan. And actually, my first deployment, I came home early because my wife was pregnant. And so I flew out of Kuwait on a Saturday, landed in Atlanta, Georgia on a Sunday. I was back in Detroit later that Sunday, and Tuesday morning, I was in the operating room, and you know, there was no real time to adjust, and it's very difficult.
I know Chaplain Lepley, I know you deployed with the 126 as well as I did, and I don't know what your time frame was when you came home. We had about 2 weeks at Camp Shelby, Mississippi, from when we left Afghanistan, flew home, and were able to sit at Camp Shelby, relax. We took the demobe process nice and slow, and there was a lot of providers there, not just talking about the mental health that we could get, but about our GI Bill benefits and all the other benefits that we have at our disposal now. So we were able to relax, sit back, talk to our families on the phone as much as we wanted to before we had that ceremony where we came back home into Grand Rapids. And Chaplain Lepley, was there anything you wanted to add to that?
I think that I'm very cautious when it comes to assigning and designating a specific time frame that takes for somebody to really integrate back into the family system, because each person, each soldier in each family is going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that studies will show, and Dr. Adrian Blum may argue with me a little bit on this, is that when you leave for deployment, there's a little bump of stress in the family as the family system tries to cope with the loss of one of its members. As roles in the families are reestablished and expectations are reestablished, as the spouse that's left at home tries to assume control of the kids or fill the gaps that are left. And studies will show, though, that at the end of the deployment, at the tail end, starting about 1 month before the end of the deployment, there's another bump. Stuff I've seen shows that that bump at the end of the deployment is actually bigger than the one at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And that bump that starts about a month before the soldier gets home, that bump continues on for X amount of time, depending on how well the family communicates, how well they just relax and not get at each other's throats.
Mm-hmm.
That bump, it's a pretty sizable bump. And the reason why is because that veteran, they leave a hole when they leave. And that hole, most of the times, gets filled. The family turns inward. It hits a state of homeostasis. And then when the veteran comes home, the family has to learn how to open up and to accept that veteran. So mm-hmm. a veteran can reassimilate some of their same duties. Some of the duties they won't have anymore. Mm-hmm. And when I left, before I left, I paid the bills. I was in charge of all the finances. Now I'm home. I've been home, 6 months. I haven't paid a bill since I've been home because my wife has assumed the responsibility. Right. And she likes holding the checkbook, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. We have a question from a caller for you three gentlemen. We have Joan. Joan, you're welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad that you're speaking about this topic. And I was just wondering, if veterans are having difficulty with a therapist or something with the VA, can they contact you, or what should they do?
Mr. Anderman, do you want to go ahead? Do you have an answer for that?
Well, again, that's an individual case, but depending on the level of treatment and the level of dissatisfaction a person's experiencing, I mean, when ideally a mental health professional is going to help assist a client to achieve, maximum benefit. So if they're feeling like, well, okay, I notice you're not doing well here, let me try and hook you up with somebody. But if they're frustrated with the VA, the real issue becomes in every state.
Excuse me. Could you speak a little louder? I can hardly hear that.
Sorry about that. Yes. What I look for is the availability of treatment providers in an area. If somebody comes to me and they say, well, I've been seeing the VA, but I'm not happy about it, then my job is to try and hook somebody up and make a referral so that they can get the help they want as soon as possible. And that's one of the things for the STAR Behavioral Health Program is to, we're going to have a registry of ideally 1,000 therapists in the state of Michigan where people are going to be able to go online and identify who's had the training in their area that is accepting clients And at that point, it's almost an immediate referral system. The question outlines one of the problems that exists and one of the founding reasons and establishment for the STAR Behavioral Health Providers Network.
Chapman Lepley, do you have anything to add?
If I understand the question is, what to do if a soldier's having problems with the services they're receiving, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Now, I'm always available, but I can't do everything. So I'm more than happy to help out. If soldiers in my unit come to me, and they often do with an issue of, you know, I was in therapy and the therapist, they just don't get it. They're a quack. I try to listen to what the problem is. If I'm not able to fully understand the problem, then I can't fully help them. And that requires time, listen to what's going on. Sometimes you just need to vent. And then don't be shocked either if a soldier complains about the services they get at the VA, because Michigan was rated the worst VA in the U.S., and we were beat by Guam and Puerto Rico. We're so far down on the food chain when it comes to VA services. So that's very common for soldiers to complain about VA services. It's awful that soldiers go overseas. They fight a different demographic of people, and a demographic of people that's very similar to them happens to work at the VA quite a bit, especially in with your doctors. Soldiers view some of those individuals that are treating them at the VA as the enemy. Why did I go overseas and fight this particular type of person just to come home and be treated by them? And so that creates an immediate wall. And just like Tom said, is, you know, referral. I have a network of mental health counselors that I'm friends with, that I hang out with, and I can refer a soldier on if they're having a problem. They need somebody who understands what they're going through a little bit more, or maybe not even understands, but who is good at working with them. And so I'd refer them.
Okay, and it sounds I'm sorry to interrupt, Chapman Lepley. It sounds like one of the problems that, correct me if I'm wrong, Joan and Chapman Lepley, is that, Joan, your problem is where to find this information if somebody's not getting the help that they need. And I believe some of this information we found on the website, starproviders.org. Am I correct, Chapman Lepley?
That is correct. When you go to the website, the first thing you'll see is a picture of the continental United States. And you'll see Michigan, Indiana are highlighted in blue. Click on Michigan if they are from Michigan, and it'll ask the question, are you a provider or are you a service member? If they're a service member, then click service member, and it'll take them to a page where they can click the link that says something along the lines of find a provider. That's a provider registry. And then all that registry states is that practitioner has received the Tier 1 training, that they have malpractice insurance, that they have a license in good standing, and that they're taking on new clients. We'll also, on that spreadsheet, also indicate whether or not they take TRICARE or are boarded by Military One Source. Military One Source is another great tool, too, for referrals. All Military One Source is, it's just a referral agency. So a soldier can call up Military One Source and request mental health counseling, and they can get 12 free sessions of mental health counseling through Military One Source with a local practitioner. And the other nice thing with Military One Source is they can take, and if they have a problem with their therapist, which is the heart of the question here, they can call Military One Source, again, be like, you know, this person's a quack, and Military One Source will actually terminate the sessions for the soldier and get the soldier hooked up with another mental health professional, because not all therapists are going to work for all people.
And I hope
so that, finding benefit.
I hope that answers your question, Joan. I want to thank you for being on Veterans Radio today, for joining us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Tom Anderman, Captain Nicholas Anderson, and Chaplain Paul Lepley. Stay tuned.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University.
By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill. The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
Welcome back to Veterans Radio. Again, if you have a question for our guest today, the number is 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. And Chaplain Lepley, I have something I wanted to get to and talk about. One of the other distinctions is you're the Secretary of Board for Zero Day. I know you talked about with me earlier this week that that is a program that you were launching this week. Can you tell me a little bit about Zero Day, what it is, and how it can benefit everyone out there?
Well, Zero Day, we are still in our infancy, so there's only so much I can say. But we have a group of people who are very successful at working with vets, and more towards the job retraining, comprehensive work therapy type models that we'll be using to take a veteran who may have fallen on hard times and get them retrained. We have an accredited teacher, like a master carpenter, who can actually teach a class that they can actually get college credit for. We're working towards getting the college credits that we can award them legally so that way they can transfer to other universities. Mm-hmm. And it's more along the construction trades right now, but we look at branching out into a bunch of other trades. And one thing about the Zero Day that sets us apart from all these other agencies who try to help veterans with job retraining or just job placement is that Zero Day actually has a supportive services branch. So all the veterans that come in, they'll be screened by myself or another mental health counselor, and we'll see, do a little bit of maybe a Myers-Briggs type inventory or something along those lines to figure out what type of jobs may be interesting to them or something that they may want to do. And also we'll be able to assess their biopsychosocial status. So we're not just going to take a soldier and feed them to the wolves, so to speak, and say, oh, yes, you're going to go work in construction and they're quadriplegic.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to go work in construction and they might have severe PTSD where a nail gun going off may make them flinch every single time they hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll match them with a career that's more suited for them, and plus we'll work with them through it. So myself or another therapist can actually go on the job site and see how the soldiers are doing or the veterans are doing, make sure that they're assimilating well, that everything's going well for them. And at the end of the day, they pick up a valuable skill, a valuable trait that they can take with them anywhere, and they have the time to get back on their feet. It falls under the idea of you got to stabilize and then assess and then relaunch. So, it gives them that time to stabilize and get things under control before they move on with the rest of their life.
Okay. Mr. Anderman, something I wanted to ask you. When I had spoke to you earlier this week, you had told me that you're present for all the reintegration ceremonies, correct?
Yes.
And I'm assuming that's like the yellow ribbon ceremonies that soldiers we partake in a couple months after we return from deployment, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I wanted to get that information out there because I'm sure we have a lot of listeners inside the state of Michigan who still have soldiers deployed, and this way they know what to look for. They can come speak to you about any problems that they might have or issues that they might have once their soldier comes home from deployment to let them know that.
I'm going to interrupt. What was their yellow ribbon ceremony called?
Captain Anderson, do you want to inform a little bit about the Yellow Ribbon events that we partake in?
So what we do for Michigan National Guard airmen and soldiers, about 45 to 60 days after post-deployment, after they come home, we do a reintegration workshop weekend. We bring in the unit to a resort-like facility, Grand Traverse Resort or Amway Grand, and we spend the weekend with the service member and their family and talk about what resources they have available, and also we discuss issues or topics of what they may be facing as far as anger management, unemployment, just you name it, marital issues. And Tom Anderman, he speaks about multiple different things as far as emotional and mental issues that the service members or the family members might pop up post-deployment, more or less.
Mr. Anderman, do you want to add to that a little bit on what you speak about to the soldiers and their family members?
Well, the regular presentations are on addiction and traumatic brain injury. Try to, number one, make people aware of what kind of problems they're going to incur with the use of alcohol or any illicit substance or abuse of legal pharmaceuticals, the emotional process of reintegration to reintegrate and assume normal life. It's just impeded by use of those. How that complicates family matters, and then try to displace some of the misunderstandings regarding traumatic brain injury, what can be done, what can't be done, what people need to do to take care of themselves. And then I try to get people to understand that when you come home, suffering from whatever experience you had in deployment is really, doesn't have to be an ongoing, lifelong disability, that treatment's available for people, and there really are some very good established therapies that help people with PTSD, if that's what they have. And then the big thing is trying to get people to understand that a lot of the symptomology that is identified with PTSD, just because you're experiencing that doesn't mean you have PTSD.
Right.
And that those those symptoms can be treated, and you can, go on your life without having that bother you. A lot of people think they're just, that's going to happen. I'm this way now. It's really not the case. I try to get people to understand there's good ways to treat these things to resume normal life.
I just want to add something, because we focus mainly on the reserve component, the Army Reserves, Army National Guard, Air National Guard. I had an active duty officer ask me one time when I was in Afghanistan, when I go home, what am I going to do? And I was like, I'm probably going to go back to my civilian career. And it was almost hard for him to fathom that you could be in a combat zone, and then, a month after you go home, you go back to working at the bank, or you go back working at Best Buy or something. And that's one of the issues that our soldiers face, is that it's getting back to the civilian lifestyle. And also, on the active duty side, you come home from a deployment, you take your leave, but then you go back to your base with all your buddies that you were deployed with. In the National Guard and the Reserves, you don't get that. You come home, and you just go to the four winds of the state of Michigan. And like myself, I was on a team of 12 guys in Afghanistan, and I didn't see some of them for 6-7 months. And it's not so much the stress of coming home, but there's like the separation. That was what hurt the most, is that I spent 15 months with some of these guys, and then they were just gone. And it was, they were my security blanket for a year and a half almost.
Yep.
And that's what hurt the most, I think.
Yeah. I know that's what Chaplain Lepley and I spoke about earlier this week, is that there is no active duty base in the state of Michigan. We have such a large veteran population in this state. So, Chaplain Lepley, any last thoughts?
No, just would like to encourage anybody who would like to attend the training. We have one coming up next week at Selfridge. Registration closes today, so hurry up.
And they can register
on our website.
They can register at starproviders.org.
That is correct. And it's about creating awareness and respecting the military subculture, and being able to help those who sacrifice so much for the freedoms that we all enjoy.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you gentlemen for being on today on Veterans Radio. I really do appreciate it. We got some good awareness out there on this topic, a lot of good information out there for our listeners, and I think a lot of people will benefit from this information and know that there is a change being made across the state, across mental health providers, and that soldiers don't have to worry so much about going to see those mental health providers, that they're now going to get the help that they need, and the providers are going to understand where they're coming from.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Hey, Brian, I think you did a great job today, and I want to make sure that you this is Brian's solo flight as a host, and we want to thank him so much for putting the program together and bringing his guests on. I think it's very, very valuable, and I want to thank all the guests today that have been on Veterans Radio. So good job.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Enderman, thank you. Chaplain Lepley, again, thank you very much. I do appreciate it very much for coming on air with us today and sharing what you've been doing around the state.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
All right, Brian. Good job. As I said, whew, now you can breathe a little bit. It's been it has been an unusual morning, but we want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be up next week with some new authors. There's going to be kind of exciting stuff. We've got women in the military coming up, POWs, and a whole bunch of other stories. If you've got something you want us to discuss, look for us on Facebook and Twitter. Until next week, you are dismissed. Oh, the opinions voiced on today's program are not necessarily those of Veterans Radio or the station that you're listening to. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio.